they can hear you now. So this is Bumpin' That. I'm Zoe. We don't have Aurora here today, and we're subbing in for, I actually don't know what radio show, but you all can introduce yourselves. Your mics are on.
Hello. I'm Ian. I'm the Ginger's replacement, also a ginger.
I am the next quarter of the Ginger's. I feel it wrong saying that. I'm the next quarter actually. of Aurora replacement. But yo, shouting what that thing do is 4 a.m. Get her running to bump that, bump those songs. It's Lori. Lori, aka Lore, clocking in, ready to drop some beats. The beats hate to see me coming right now, so I'll pass it on to the next mic right now.
Shouting what that thing do. The beats are terrified of Lori.
Hate to be a beat right now.
A bad day to be a beat. This is Sam. And yeah.
Hey, this is Nia. I too am terrified of Lori, so I don't know. You might call me a beat.
So we're gonna do our first song. What is the song? Swim Good? Is that what we've collectively decided? And then we can do a random playlist for after. So buckle up. This is Swim Good, Frank Ocean. Yeah. Start now.
It's one good. Thank you.
down.
Everybody plays a beautiful game while I'm in Brazil. Cause it's all you've ever wanted, and it's all that you want still. Don't you wanna play the beautiful game out in Brazil? I wanna play the beautiful game while I'm in Brazil.
Alrighty, you're all good. Can you not hear? Bookie, you can't hear yourself speak, Bookie. You can talk, though.
Yo, 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 my fine shits. How we doing? This is the first talking segment of the night. unfortunately, we are all mockers here.
Oh, so it's even worse that you use that word.
Yeah, we have to talk about mock trial. Before. Yeah. So our first section is going to be about things in mock trial that give us a rush. That just give us a rush or are low-key risky to do. And I'm going to pass it over to Ian.
Wait, let's pass it to Sam first.
Okay, let's pass it to Sam because it seemed like he has some thoughts. Talk to us.
Sam, I think you got to point the mic a little.
Okay, I don't know if I really have a take on this one, guys, but things that give you the rush?
I think Sam likes to walk.
I like to walk.
Little strut.
I fuck with strutting.
Like, can someone give him an example? It's like,
you go ahead, Lori.
What?
Okay. I don't have a good one.
I just went over the summer when we were in Atlanta, right before we started the trial, Sam was like, guys, I have this idea. Like, I'm going to walk. And the idea was that he was going to, do this long walk from one end of the room to the other. And it was a great idea. Like, it worked really well. But I feel like Sam was into it, and so are we, but I don't know. It felt like Sam got a lot of joy from the long walk.
That's the rush.
I think the long walk is about, it's like doing things that you want to be doing. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. It's just about things that you want to be doing.
Oh, I understand. Yeah. Like, I feel like this thing is so procedural, and it's all about, reinforcing the hierarchy of, the judge is in charge, and you're, a student trying to get points, and it's fun to break it. Right? By doing things that are, authentic and not hierarchical, right? Like, you're sort of flaunting the conventions of, what normal lawyers do and get away with.
That's true. I think the things that give me a rush are playing into the theatrics of mock trial. I feel like I've realized that mock trial is more content than I think, but I think I've compensated that for the theatrics. And so I think my favorite part recently that gave me a rush was I did this bit during a story section where I walked down the space of the well and then took some, I don't know, some prop from our table and just did a little crescendo, and that crescendo and then the fall like gives me a rush because it's like a, you get so loud and then you just stop. That's me. Yeah. Nia?
I think that my take on like things that like things that give me a rush are like the moment that you can tell like they're like eating out of the palm of your hand. I like when they like are writing something and then all of a sudden they like put their pen down
and look
or,
up.
Like, they like look up at you and like they don't stop looking at you. I think that's my favorite part is like feeling like I've got them and I've caught them.
That's good.
Is there something that you usually do to like cause them to like look up and whatnot?
I don't. That's a good question. I don't know. I think the part that I notice it at is like the beginning or the end during like the storytelling, or like the end rhetoric when it's like. I'm like appealing to the jury. Mm. Like I'm trying to like ration and like reason with them and like help them see that like clearly like there's only one way to like see this story. And I think that's the part where I like feel it the most.
The emotional appeal. I like that. Zoe. Oh.
No, Zoe should say something.
I'm back. Sorry. The cue all messed up, but I'm back. I think the part that I had like the most fun with the most rush was like definitely the responsiveness in the clothes. It's so much fun to listen to the other person and think like how are you gonna flip it on yours and make you like, I don't know, we called it swag points on our bench, but like who can acquire the most swag, because like sometimes the swag was not there during the rest of the trial. But trust and believe, I was gonna try to have as much. Oh. The ginger has acquired his sights, like he's like started staring over there. Okay.
Yeah,
well.
Okay. Wait. I'm realizing that people. I'm being attacked. There's a like a sound thing, and you can see the sound levels.
Yes. I can also see it over here. Can't. Which I'm. I also recommend all of you talk a little bit closer into the mic, so I can see you're not hitting the proper levels.
Ah.
So maybe talk a little bit low. So talk a little bit louder and more into the mic. But yeah.
Like this.
Like that.
Ah, pretty good.
But yeah, that's I guess like what makes me fun. I think it's definitely risky because sometimes it doesn't hit. But I don't know. It's fun because when it does hit, it hits. But when sometimes the swag is not there. For sure, but it was fun when the swag was there.
The Rizma.
I thought so. I prayed.
Pray for that Rizma.
But it's only about, like, when you think you have swag points.
That's
brother, I need you to bring this, like, right here.
I said it only matters when you think you have swag points.
But does it? Because I think so. If no one else thinks it. And it's like, swag points don't exist if, like, you're giving yourself the swag points.
I think it's half the swag points you can accrue, but when other people think it's also swaggy, then, like, you finish the amount of, like... like total amount of swag that you can gain, because then it's like everyone's hyped in the courtroom for what she's about to do, because she knows she's swag and everybody in the courtroom knows she's swag.
Real. That's how I feel.
I think this cuts to this idea of authenticity for
ooh.
What it's worth.
Ooh.
Mm.
start cooking on them.
Well, like, okay, I mean, my philosophy about this has always been that you know, like the people that give us points are like pretty stupid when it comes to facts and even the law, but they're very perceptive when it comes to being like observing whether someone is being themselves or not. And so there's like something very like brutal and intimate about performing, because if you're doing it correctly, then you are doing some sort of like more fundamental self-expression. And I think that the people that are separated from like the, what separates the great from the fine is the people that are like comfortable being themselves in public. Yeah. Nia, were you telling me to speak louder? I'm speaking so loudly.
No, the thing is, yesterday Aurora thought so too, and her parents were like, we barely hear you, but we hear Zoe. So I don't know if I was speaking louder or closer to the mic.
I think someone sabotaged my... Is my mouth not very close to the mic right now?
I sabotaged.
It's a little
too
close.
Actually?
But I think actually the levels are looking so much better right now. Like, I'm looking at them and like, you want them to hit that. Yeah.
Closer?
Guys, I'm really afraid I'm going to...
Closer? No, but yeah, you're doing fine.
Okay.
Anyone else have anything to add?
I think this is about the swag versus the sauce debate.
Wait, what about the swag versus the sauce?
Would you rather have the swag or the sauce?
what is the difference between the swag and sauce?
You're about to say that I don't have the swag, aren't you?
I know people who have the swag but not the sauce, and people who have all sauce and no swag.
Okay, let's get more specific.
Here. What is sauce and what is swag, and what are they compared to each other?
Is charisma involved, or is it just
the charisma?
Is it just a two-way?
Wait, can someone give Nia a mic?
I don't think Nia wants the mic.
No.
Okay, here's my take. Ian has a lot of the swag, but not a lot of the sauce.
Wait, what? Okay, so now you got to explain what the sauce is.
I think the swag is the authenticity. It's the, like, air about yourself. But the sauce is, like, what you feel, right? Like, do you think you have the sauce?
Wait, so you're saying he'd have the sauce if he owned that he has swag?
Yeah, you have to, like, you have to buy into yourself a little bit. You have to, like...
Wait, I buy into myself a lot right now.
I promise he brought
so much
himself
that it
right
cancels
now.
Out
right now.
Right now. Okay, fine. Keep going, Sam.
No, I think that's it.
Wait, so who has a lot of sauce but not a lot of swag?
Oh, someone who's in self-aware?
Like, well, actually, I think we're all thinking of, like, lots of people that have a lot of self-confidence but are,
yeah,
like,
no
not
one say any names, please.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, so would someone with no swag but all sauce, is that someone just who's, like, thinks highly of themselves, but isn't all that?
Well, like, as a performer, they're going to come across as, like, confident and loud, and they'll probably, like, emulate a lot of stuff, but I'm not so convinced that, like, they will ever score particularly well.
But is that the swag metric?
Okay, personally... Well, I don't. I think this whole swag thing is a misnomer, because I feel like swag and authenticity... Like, I feel like a lot of swag is put on, but maybe that's just me.
Yeah, that's what swag is. Swag is put on, but the sauce is forever.
Okay, I don't think that's what this is about.
But the dog is forever.
Shorty with that thing, dude, permanently.
Okay, maybe we should do a song. Wait, Zoe, did we lose listeners talking about mock trial?
No, you guys are kind of staying loyal. I don't know if it's intriguing you or something.
I
keep on refreshing.
Keep talking about
I think we gotta give them a break. No, yeah. We got to give them a break.
Okay.
This is Melt by Sour Candy, referred to by Ian.
Yeah.
Are you excited? Okay, we're gonna get into it now. Everyone say goodbye.
Bye.
All the channels seem the same.
before I could just reach out, I could take it, take a bite of it and shave it. And he's talking about some stupid sneakers he wore. He said, I'll get them where they make it. Ain't no middleman to fake it. For a couple weeks, I could feel it coming up. A couple days, I could hear the drum in the tenements. I pack a gun and we're freshening up as the morning's coming in. Bittersweet for the most part, bitter. It's one part sweet and it's two parts bitter. It's one part sweet, I think it's one part sweet and it's two parts bitter. I got a taste of the good life in the middle of the night. It was about 4 o'clock on a Friday, as in 4 a.m. One said the day and night. A long day, I was in a taxi on the Cross Island Parkway. Coming, ah, bittersweet for the most part, bitter. It's one part sweet and it's 2 parts bitter. It's one part sweet and I think it's 1 part sweet and it's 2 parts bitter. I got a taste of the good life in the middle of the night. It was about 4 o'clock on a Friday, as in 4 a.m. on a Saturday. And I got a taste of the good life, I was feeling alright. And I was in the backseat, it was a long day. I was in a taxi on the Cross Island Parkway.
This is Nia coming at you with a little PSA for ladder safety. Just wanted to let y'all know that there's something very dangerous in your home. It could be hiding in a closet or waiting in the basement. It's not sharp or toxic or even flammable, but it helps send more people to the trauma center than any other household item. Using a ladder might seem easy, but misusing one is even easier. Ask any of the 150,000 people who fell off their ladders into the trauma center last year alone. Don't let a do-it-yourself project do yourself in. For more tips on ladder safety, visit orthoinfo.org/laddersafety. This is a public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and your safety-minded friends here at WMFO in Medford Tufts Community Radio.
That was a lot. I think that, you know, these conversations are important, but it's also important to take care of ourselves. panel.
Like, I have a letter in my home.
How is everyone feeling? Like, I know that this can be a heavy topic. I'm glad that we discussed it, but let's just do like a little emotional check-in.
I think I'm scared I'm going to do myself in as well. I don't know. How do other people feel?
I mean, I know a few ladders in my life, and it feels like they've been coming in more and more. And I'm scared of what they might do to me, what they might do to my neighbors, what they might do to Americans, generally. I mean, it's just a frightening concept.
Wait. Like, yeah, go ahead, Lori.
Your ladders don't, like, knock? They just come in?
They're just heaping into my life.
Oh.
Piling over the fence. Coming after me.
Is that...
You know, like, personally, whenever we have these discussions, I'm really glad that other people are, like, getting this information, but, like, I'll be vulnerable. Like, I lost both of my parents to a ladder when I was a child. And...
where are you getting your ladder information from? Are you on Ladder Fox?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, luckily I'm on Ladder Truth Social. So I know what the hell is going on with ladders in the Medford Somerville area.
Yeah.
I don't think you really did lose your family to ladders.
How on earth could you say that? Look, like, I understand that we might not all feel the same way about ladders, but I think we can all agree that, like, whenever someone loses a loved one to a ladder in their home, and when they're done in by a ladder, then...
Well, I don't think this is a ladder. This is a ladder issue. I mean, ladders don't kill people. People kill people on ladders.
Weren't you just saying that you were running away?
Wait, so Mike, please get
up. Okay. I don't know what to say anymore.
If I could just cut in here really quick, Sam, I think you brought up a really good point when you were talking about how ladders are really just, like, invading, like, more and more into homes. I think, to me, what's becoming dangerous, what's becoming scary is that it seems like there's less really regulation on the ladders and when they're allowed to enter and exit your life, and it seems like they're taking jobs. I'm concerned about the state of our nation.
There are good ladders and bad ladders. And I think that the problem is that, like, right now the bad ladders, like, there's no one is doing anything about them.
Can I play devil's advocate for a moment?
Yeah.
You're talking about people, like, ladders entering and exiting. Who's allowing them to enter and exit? I think I saw Sam the other day just open his door wide open for a ladder to just come through. Like,
wait,
that's
Lori,
not.
I mean,
what did the ladder look like?
It was tall, had red hair, buzzed, I think.
That was the ladder that killed my mom.
This is approaching death row. I think when we take a look at what's changed, but in the past couple of years when the ladders have been entering and exiting from homes, lives. I think what's really changed here has been the policy around ladders, both state and federal. And I think when we look at what's changed, to me it seems like the most obvious and the most tangible change has been the state or has been state policy that's been created around ladders, and I think that as we go on, they continue to get more and more lenient with ladders and even what constitutes as a ladder and who's allowed to enter and exit. And I think it's getting to dangerous levels.
You know, Nia, I think this is a great point, and it I think it begets this other conversation that we're not having, which is about autumn exercise. Nia, I know that you have, like, a lot of important things to say about autumn exercise, but, you know, I just feel like we can't talk about ladders without talking about autumn exercise.
I would like some clarification, because ladders, you know, seem winter exercise to me, but I want to know what autumn exercise really has to do with this, if you could care to explain.
I'd be happy to. Thank you. Autumn brings some of the most beautiful days of the year to New England. if you haven't been getting all the exercise you should, now is the perfect time to get outside, walk, run, ride a bike. Use your feet to go places instead of your car. Enjoy the fall colors, breathe the fresh air, reduce your stress, and improve your health. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio.
That was a pretty good segue, guys. I'm glad we got two PSAs in one. I think that I would call that a pretty successful podcast, personally.
Yeah, I think that our ratings, as far as I can tell, just exploded.
I think it was really informational. Yeah. And the listeners really need to hear that this morning on the dangers of ladder safety and how autumn exercise differs from winter, and I think that's really impactful.
Yeah,
and that's what this is about, truly. Bump That is like about that, and I'm happy we could spread that to other days.
You know, Zoe, I've heard that our next artist is really big into both ladder safety and autumn exercise,
and also making friends along the way. Not the destination of those ladders, but the journey.
The destination is Sam's house.
Wait, is Bella Hadid a ladder?
Huh?
I was promised Justin Bieber.
What does this have to do with Bella Hadid?
I thought they were,
Okay. Yeah, ready.
Wait, so we have a discussion about celebrity relations off mic. This is Baby by,
To answer Sam's question, no, they're not on the ladder.
They're nowhere near the ladder. The ladders have never even made contact.
What is the model that is the ladder?
Hailey Bieber. Hailey Baldwin? Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, I feel like the last name
Oh, Alec Baldwin.
Hailey Baldwin, Alec Baldwin's niece.
This tragic would happen with him.
Yes. Okay. We're gonna get to the song.
We'll be back with another PSA about that. But for now,
this is "Baby" by Justin Bieber featuring Ludacris.
Ludacris.
Came between us, no could ever come above. She had me going crazy. Oh, I was starstruck. She woke me up daily. Don't need no Starbucks. Woo! She made my heart pound and skip a beat when I see her in the street and at school on the playground. But I really wanna see her on the weekend. She knows she got me dazing, cause she was so amazing. And now my heart is breaking, but I just keep on saying.
Baby, 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 oh, like baby, 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 no, like If you don't swim, you'll drown. But don't move, honey. You look so perfect standing there in my American Apparel underwear. And I know now that I'm so down. Your lipstick stain is a work of art. I got your name tattooed in an arrow heart. And I know now that I'm so down. Apparel underwear, and I know now that I'm so down. Your lipstick stain is a work of art. I got your name tattooed in an arrow heart, and I know now that I'm so down.
I've been looking under rocks and breaking locks, just trying to find you. I've been like a maniac, insomniac, 5 steps behind you. Tell them all the girls, they can hit the exit check, please. Cause I finally found a girl of my dreams. It's much more than a Grammy Award, that's how much you mean to me. You could be my it girl, baby, you're the shit girl. Loving you could be a crime, crazy how we big girl. This is it, girl, give me 25 to life. I just wanna rock all night long. And put you in the middle of my spotlight. You could be my it, girl. You're my biggest hit, girl. Let me play it loud. Let me play it loud, like. Let me play it loud. Let me play it loud, like. Let me play it loud. You can't help but turn them heads, not getting them dead. Like flies around you. If I get your body close, not letting go. Hoping you're about to tell them other guys they could lose your number. You're done. They don't get another shot cause you're love drunk. Like a TV show playing reruns. Every chance I get, I'ma turn you on. You could be my it girl. Baby, you're the shit girl. Loving you could be a crime. Crazy how we big girl. This is it girl. Give me 25 to life.
All right. right, welcome back, everyone, to WMFO's Bluff the Listener game. It's almost 5 in the morning, and you know what that means. It's time to take our first caller to play Bluff the Listener. Hey, caller, you're on. What's your name?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Wait, hi. My name is Corey. Corey. I'm driving my kids to their soccer game right now. They haven't been winning, so I'm hoping this podcast is really going to give them the spirits, you know, hype them up.
It's great to have you, Corey. What do you do for work, if you don't mind my asking?
You know, I actually am a sculptor. I sculpt with butter, actually.
Okay, well, Corey, we're super happy to have you here. We hope that you have a great soccer game with your kids, and right now we're going to play our Bluff the Listener game. So.
Wait, would you like a sculpture with butter?
I'm okay, ma'am, but for now, the Bluff the Listener game, so here's how it's going to work. We have our lovely panel. We've got Sam, Nia, and Zoe, and they're going to basically... They have three stories they're going to share with you about a humorous thing that happened this week, but only one's going to be true. The other two are made up, and it's up to you, Corey, to guess which one is the real story.
Yeah, I love this game. I've seen this one before.
All right, well, I'm going to start off with the indomitable Sam Nashell to give your first story.
Well, hi, Corey.
Hi.
It's great to hear your voice over the air. And I hope your children succeed in their soccer affairs.
I hope so, too, because then I'd be off of snack duty, but they've got me on snack duty since they're losing.
Yep, okay. So back to the news. This comes from the Washington Post, 2019, circa. And the story is about a group of giraffes, zebras, I might add, who... helped I think it was a monkey escape the New York City Zoo and sort of roam free and cause havoc in New York City. I'm not sure if you're aware about this, but this was circa 2017.
Is this the plot to Madagascar or
nope,
this is real?
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about right now.
Okay.
You're crazy.
Okay.
Sam, just before we throw to our next story, could you tell us about what sort of impact this had on the city and Mayor Eric Adams' administration?
Yeah, I mean, this was before Eric Adams.
Yeah.
I think this was more of a Giuliani.
More Bloomberg.
It
guys.
Sounds like what
Bloomberg,
you're saying is that this
throw
was
a little
the
bit further back.
Direct cause of the Eric Adams. Campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. I mean, one of the things that Eric Adams has really gone after is squashing the rats. And I know following this monkey outbreak in New York City Zoo...
I thought it was giraffes.
Giraffe outbreak in New York City Zoo. There was a rampant override of rats, which later led to Eric Adams' reign.
All right, so that was our first story about a herd of giraffes that led to Eric Adams' reign. Your next story is from Zoe Renaziel Winter.
Oh, full name. Why, thank you, Coast Ian. My story is about six monkeys who are still on the loose from a South Carolina compound after dozens escaped. So I can give you a little more information over here, Corey. It's about a bunch of monkeys actually escaped from a compound in 2018.
Oh, now, this other incident.
Right after, because that was in 2017. But
I thought it was in 2019.
It's okay. I'll just follow the timeline here. But only six of those are still out in the wild and unable to be found by those compound owners. So they're still dealing with that to this day. We'll just wrap this up soon because, you know, the show's ending soon, Corey. So which story do you think is real and which one's false?
I'm thinking the first one is real. The first one, it's giving real.
Oh, okay. Well, to bring you the real story, we spoke to a reporter who was involved in this actual coverage.
Yeah, Corey, I unfortunately, you were wrong. It's actually the story about the monkey outbreak that was right. quite honestly, I'm a little confused how you got it wrong, considering that the story went from being in 2019 to 2017.
You know, I thought that was just
it went from being an error about giraffes to monkeys. A little confused about
it's been a hard day. They lost,
but I was there while they were. I was there while they were finding the monkeys and continue to be there while they struggle to find them. So, better luck next time. And I'm not sure that this is your kid's best shot at soccer, but.
All right. Well, thanks for playing, Corey. Enjoy that soccer game.
I won't. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Corey, but this is the last song we're playing tonight. This is Bumpin' That, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Radio. Thank you for tuning in to Bumpin' That. And this is Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield.
Open up the dirty window, let the sun illuminate.